This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good Monday morning. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 28th, episode 2299, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning. We hope you had a good weekend and got to play with your ponies a bit. If I remember right, when we talked last on Friday, Jamie, you were going to be like the keynote, the big speaker at a, I even forget what it was.
A banquet.
A banquet. That's right.
Yes. There's an organization called the 40 and 8, and that is an organization of veterans that they started back in like World War One. 40 and 8 was you could either take 40 men or 8 horses on a train car. And they're just a really incredible group of charitable retired veterans that go around and do all sorts of great stuff. So they heard about my father-in-law. I told you my father-in-law, like, he saw an email come out about Monty Roberts working with veterans at last weekend at his farm in California. And my father-in-law's like, look at this. That's amazing. Isn't that the guy you know? And I was like, Dad, I taught that clinic. That was me there at the farm. Remember?
Isn't
when
it amazing that they have no idea what we do?
No idea. No idea what we do. And you know, so we're sitting in there and I was like, you know, I've had the toughest October between teaching that clinic by myself without Monty last weekend and the thoroughbred makeover and the traveling 2 days each way to get there and back. And then the show, I was like, more nervous to give.
Well, not only that, you're building a house, which is one of the most stressful things that any couple can do.
Yeah, I woke up and I was like, I should be nervous. And I'm tapped out. There's nothing left. There's no more adrenaline in my body to create nerves. So I'm sitting there telling him that, my father-in-law, and he's like, well, the good news is nobody in here has any idea what the hell you're talking about. And nobody has ever heard anybody talk about it before. I was like, oh, well, that's
you can't
good.
Get it
Blink
wrong.
Sleep. Can't get it wrong until I get up there. And my little PowerPoint slide, of course, you know, the guy running the PowerPoint is like, you know,
110.
I didn't say it. The video won't work.
He
There's
was
no
World
audio.
War One.
Yeah. And so I'm like, yeah, I'll just wing it. You know, like, I'm just going to talk about horses to people that have no idea what I'm talking about. And I get about 10 minutes in and I'm wrapping it up. And this guy stands up and he's like, can I say something? Okay. Sounds good. Come on up. And he has been a participant in the clinic in the past and apparently knew me, remembered me from teaching that clinic. I was an intern, I think, back then, and proceeds to talk for 10 minutes about his experience at the Horse Sense and Healing Clinic.
God, I hope it was good.
Starts crying, describing his moment of join up that he had with this wild Mustang that he used in the clinic. Oh my God. Then I look around, there's like 10 men, grown 90-year-old men, all crying. Because this guy's crying. I'm like, oh my God, we're going to have to call an ambulance. Like, what is going on? Afterwards, this guy comes up, he's a World War II veteran and comes up to me with...
There aren't many of those left. I think the only ones left are in Oklahoma.
I mean, it was amazing. And he comes up with this cane and starts telling me all these stories about, you know, and wishes that he would have found me when he was younger because he really thinks that it would have helped him, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it was so powerful to hear this man describe, like, to his peers, his experience at the...
Oh, and that meant a lot more to them than whatever you said.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was like, the girl's PowerPoint didn't work. I couldn't get the video playing. Here I am, just like, well, I'll just talk about it. And then this guy starts up. I'm like, thank God he started talking because that was awesome. And here my father-in-law is like, see, people do know what I do. But it was a good time. And it was definitely an honor to be a part of it. And I didn't trip and fall. I didn't stumble. Nobody needed the services of 911. So, and by the way, World War II vets, when they party, they party.
Oh, really?
There was a room that they called it the hospitality room.
Yeah.
And please join us in the hospitality room for drinks and snacks. And I go, and these people
full
have
bar.
Brought a full bar. I mean, there's a wall of booze, like all varieties. And I was like, dang, you guys know how to bring it. And he was like, yeah. He's like 90. He's like, yeah.
It's the one thing they have left.
Like, right on. They were like, we come here to cut loose. So I was like, well, cut loose you are. Anyway, it was a great experience. And
you were the youngest woman that had been in there in about 40 years. So
oh, God. You
that.
Know what? If you're in Oklahoma and you're hanging out with 90-year-olds, you are a freaking 10. I mean, I was like... I'm freaking hot, man. I am amazing. I'm a 10.
Did you wear your riding outfit? That would have thrilled them too.
Oh, God, no. No, 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 no. I didn't need to get that crazy. But yes, I did look the part. I had a little flannel shirt on. I did not wear a dress. It was not going to be part of it. I wore boots. So,
you know, anyway. There's a couple podcasts now that are making a serious effort to interview all of those World War II guys while they're still alive, because not a lot of them are anymore. To tell their stories. And what they're finding is now that they've gotten to the age where they know they don't have a lot of time left, they're willing to open up for the first time in their lives. They're telling the stories of their combat and all of that. And I listened to a couple of them, and it's just unbelievable, the stories. And it's their families. Then they interview the families, and the families are going, they never talked about this, ever. Mm-hmm. And their families are hearing it for the first time in these podcasts. But I'm real glad that these podcasts are taking the time to do it, because the stories are going to be lost.
You know? Yeah. I mean, this one gentleman that talked to me afterwards, he comes up and he was like, I've just seen too much, and they keep sending me to these therapists, and I have to tell strangers about my problems. And I just really think that a horse would really help. And I was like, well, come on down. He's like, I live in Kansas. And I was like, I will drive up there. I will put you in the trunk of my car, and I will drive you down to be with my horses. I was like, watch out, I'm coming for you. But a lot of them were Vietnam vets too, yeah, that were there. Like my father-in-law,
probably a few Korean there too. Yeah,
he's Korean War too. So I'm just a bunch of heroes and just doing their best to make the world a better place while they still can. So if you are interested in becoming a hero, join the 40 and 8 organization. Apparently, they really need some new members, new blood. So.
My dad was in during the Korean War, and he was a Marine, and never left Paris Island. So that's where they do their boot camp, and they did their boot camp back then, in World War II, they did Paris Island, and he was such a good shot that they kept him as a expert marksman, and he never left. 4 years on Paris Island doing expert marksman stuff, never had to go to Korea. He found out his unit then ended up as MPs in Miami Beach. So he was like, I thought I was getting a good deal till I find out where they went.
What's an MP?
Military police. They were military police in Southern Florida. He said they spent the whole time like goofing off and drinking and on the beach. So he wasn't.
So they're not the ones that need the horse sense and healing.
No. No, they had fond memories of the whole thing. But that's his memory. He spent the whole time there at Paris Island.
Well, if you this is something that Chad always does, and I've started doing it as well because it's really cool. If you guys ever see a veteran, and you know they are because they're older and they're wearing a hat, they always have their hats on. They're like veteran hats on, and they have
have their pins on their hats. Yep.
Yeah, some medals on their hats, something like that. And they're in the grocery store. Please walk up to them and just say, hey, man, thank you so much for your service. It's all you have to do to make their day. They just want to be, they, I don't know if they want to be, but they really appreciate being thanked. So if you do see that, there's your little hot tip of the day. Write that down. Thank a veteran.
The veterans set up at all of the rest stops along the Florida Turnpike. And unfortunately, I have to pee a lot. So I'm like giving money every time I have to stop. Because you feel bad when you're walking by them and they're talking to you. It's like, I got to donate. Well, you know, those trips are costing me a lot of money now.
Get over it. Your money bags. Come on.
It's true, though. It's every stop. It's like, I gave it the last one.
You got to pay to play. Yeah. You're going to just be end up peeing in the parking lot from now on.
Well, happy birthday to our auditors, Ashley Mitchell, Brenna Starch, and to Jess Payne, host of Heels Down Happy Hour, and my friend Steve Adams. A lot of you know him as Mighty Blue. He does the podcast Mighty Blue and the Appalachian Trail, which I know a lot of you listen to. So happy birthday to all of you. And Steve's doing the rounds now that he finished his second round of hiking the Appalachian Trail. He's being asked to speak at like every little meeting there is in his area. So he's been going out doing that same kind of talk you just did.
I'm sure that pays.
It pays real well. It really does.
Let's see. We just spent the whole darn time talking. You know what? I was going to give it to the 40 and 8 guys, but we already talked about them. So here's what I'll do. I'll call an audible and I'll give a daily whinny out to my little friend, Kona. You remember Kona? Kona is a horse that I have in training. He's an off-the-track thoroughbred. He's 3 years old. He was really, really flighty. Really, really had been beat up quite a bit. You couldn't wave your arms anywhere. You couldn't move your arms anywhere around him because he would flinch. And I've had him 2 weeks and he's going home because I'm done. You can comfortably, safely walk, trot, canter, stop, back up, ride around and hack around on this horse. He came around so quickly. It's amazing how forgiving horses are.
Hey, Jamie, let's talk business here for a minute. To be a good trainer, it takes 90 days.
Oh,
I don't care if you're done in 2 weeks or not. You bill him for 90 days.
I got to keep him longer.
You're never going to make money doing it this way.
I know, but he's fine. Like what they required of me, what they wanted me to do was to just get on him and ride him around and make him to where somebody could get on him and walk him around. And it took like less than 2 weeks because I was out of town for the Horse Sense and Healing Clinic too. So he come along so quickly. And the thing is, Glenn, as far as business goes, they're just going to send me another one. So they have 43. Okay. Like, there's no shortage. I'm going to run out. So as soon as Kona says somebody's coming out actually to try him here at my house for adoption.
Okay.
And if that works out, then they'll just take him and they'll bring me another one. And if it doesn't work out, I'll take Kona back. They'll put some videos of me riding him on their website and he'll be adopted out in minutes. And we're bringing the next one in. So I am super proud of this little pony. It's just amazing how forgiving they can be and how much just a little patience and a little connection, you know, they getting a little bit of trust built up. I can wave my, you remember the dance, I think I posted the dance video in our auditor's room and it's me dancing around this horse, waving around my arms, dancing to Taylor Swift. And he's like, flinch. Now I can do it. He's like, kind of moves along.
He wasn't flinching at you. He was flinching at Taylor Swift.
Oh my God. You watch your mouth. But anyway, it was really, really fun. He's doing really good. So this is the last chance. If anybody needs a nice, lovely trail horse that just walk, trot, canter, and he's a total push horse, like push.
And
push,
congratulations.
Push,
you didn't fail on this one. Meaning, didn't keep
it's
him.
Just amazing how often you expect me to screw up.
I worked with you for 10 years.
Come
on, but we've seen a few over the years.
I've been through what do they call it at Flag Is Up Farm? They call it a master's degree in horse training and education.
No, so that isn't what I mean. I didn't expect you to fail in the training. I expected you to fail by keeping the horse. That's what I meant. You failed this whole,
God,
you know,
jerk.
Yeah, no. Keeping the horse is what I meant. You know, like being a foster and failing. Yeah.
I'm really actually going to miss him because I really do.
See, there we go.
I know. I was like, and the thing is, like, somebody's going to come and look at him, I think, tomorrow, and I'm going to cry. If they take him, I'm going to be like, Maybe he's not the best horse around, but it's, you know, then I just get to help another one. So I get the whole fostering thing and training and sending him on down the road. But this one, he's kind of special.
No, I have no doubts about your training capabilities.
It's your
giving them up capabilities that I was always concerned about.
You know, this is the organization that has that Basset Hound.
So I know.
When she comes to get the horse, I'm going to be like, can you maybe have the dog stop and jump in the trailer? And then, I don't know how the dog got here.
We're going to be dark tomorrow. It's the fifth Tuesday of the month, which means we have no show. There won't be any show at all tomorrow. No live, no one on your feed.
It gives you time to get caught up on the other shows.
That's right. You can get caught up on all the other shows that we do. But on Thursday, well, we'll find out. Later on in the show, we're going to have Deanne on from Horse Nation. And if she got enough stories for Halloween, we'll be on Thursday for a special Halloween episode. Normally, that would be a dark day, too. But we'll come on for Halloween and just have some fun reading stories. We're also going to play some trivia, Halloween trivia. It's going to be like this. It's going to be a Horse Nation fan against a Horses in the Morning fan in Halloween trivia. So I need to recruit somebody. If you want to come on Thursday and play some Halloween trivia, if you're a Halloween expert, then come and join
me. What is Halloween trivia?
We did it last year. It was a lot of fun. They were all Halloween questions. Yeah. So I guess you have to be you know how I love Halloween. So,
yeah, you're a big time.
It's my favorite holiday.
Huge
of the year.
Also,
we have a big announcement. We just started, and there's a few products there. There'll be more added as we go. But thanks to everybody over at Distance Depot, we now have a way for you to get customized products with the Horse Radio Network logo and the Horses in the Morning logo. We've never done this before because I just didn't want the hassle, to be honest. But now Distance Depot is doing the hassle part, and they have shirts and jackets and tote bags and saddle pads, hats that you can get embroidered with the Horses in the Morning or the Horse Radio Network logos, and we'll add other shows as we go along. But they're going to be adding more different saddle pads and that kind of stuff as time goes on. Also, for the first time ever, we have Horses in the Morning stickers and Horse Radio Network stickers that are available to buy. They're 4x4, 4 inches by 4 inches. They're square, like our logos, and you can buy those on there now too. Stick them on your tack trunks, on your car, on your trailer. I don't care. Put them wherever. But yeah, they're now available, and we never had those before either. So
that's awesome.
I'm glad you
got it to do it without having to do it.
That's why we didn't do it. we were in retail for a long time. We owned our own store. We know what that was like. And I just we didn't have time to do it. So thank God for Distance Depot. And of course, they've been sponsoring our endurance show for like 6-7 years. And people really like the Distance Depot, and they do their own embroidery. They do it right there in house. So you will find that at HRN for Horse Radio Network, hrnstore.com. Just go to hrnstore.com and you'll find it. So if you have an HRN fan in your life, or there's family members or whatever you want to get for holiday gifts, you can do something that's embroidered.
We have no part in this. Provided a logo and y'all get what you want.
They ship it out. They do all the work.
We're no part of this. Thank God for the Distance
I gave
Depot.
Them permission to do it. Let's put it that way. That was my part. That's what I did. All right. Awesome. So we have just enough time to do some first world problems if you want. Oh, we never did say what was coming up on today's show. We got so sidetracked with veterans.
Okay. Well, really exciting that Chris Rakovic, who is a auditor, just got a new horse, and we have to hear about it. And also, we're going to talk to Deanne from Horse Nation, and we've got some news, and we've also got the very sad, sad first world problems that you've all shared with us. I gotta go through it because there's so many of them that I'm not gonna get to all of them. Let's see here. Let's start with Ron. And by the way,
you know, when this show wasn't popular, we could get to everything.
we have
too many listeners now.
It's true. Well, it's not even that. It's just our listeners have too many problems. Remember, if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem. It qualifies. And if you ever hear yourself in the barn and you say something, you're like, that is a first world problem. Save it. And I put up a post in the auditor's Facebook page every Sunday night for just these sad tales of woe. Like Rhonda. I'm just going to start with her. I am so jet lagged from my 2 weeks in Hawaii. Shut up. By the way, you came back east. You should not be jet lagged.
She posted about a million pictures of her 2 weeks in Hawaii.
Ellen said, I found a potential perfect horse. I guess she's horse shopping. And then I found out that the owner has another one that also might be perfect. Oh my God. So many decisions. You'll know when you sit on that horse, you'll know. Stephanie says, I really want to buy this trailer, but like the equine affair is in like 2 weeks. And that means I'll have like no money to spend at the equine affair. Get the trailer.
Yeah, well, see, the stuff you're going to buy at Equine Affair, you can buy anytime, right? The trailer is going to be for a lifetime of happiness.
That's true.
We're so happy we got our new trailer because we're going everywhere in the thing now. And I got to tell you, that front ramp thing, boy, oh boy, that makes it so easy with the horses.
You know, I have that 4-horse slant load, and ever since I took Groot to Kentucky, I basically took out the partitions and the first two, so now it's like a big box stall, and I've got it filled with straw. These horses so happily load and comfortably ride. They're like, sweet.
Slant load sometimes. Nigel didn't. We tried that one. We returned it. Remember we bought one and returned it? Because he didn't fit. He literally did not fit in the slant load part.
Well, this one's
you
nice.
You got a bigger one. Yeah,
I got a box doll, and so now they're all super happy. It's kind of a pain, but I don't know how I'm ever going to get those partitions back in there. So hard to get out.
Oh, you won't.
Oh, no. Brenda says, I can't ride much this week because my birthday is Tuesday, and then work decided to have a potluck on Thursday, so I have to bake on Wednesday, and Thursday we're handing out candy. Jeez. Listen, Brenna. Ride your damn horse. It's your birthday. If you want to ride, you ride. Baking for some potluck. Go to the grocery store. Go to Walmart and buy something pre-made. Put it in a plate that looks like something you cooked. Like one of your own. Like dump the pasta into the bowl that you own and take it in. Be like, I made this potato salad. It's so good. Try it out. Did I reveal too much about myself?
A little bit, yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving!
I wasn't going to stop you, though. I was going to let you go.
Look what I made! Oh, my mother-in-law's not listening. Crap. Leah says, I'm embarrassed. So I went to Dover's Saddlery today to exchange my daughter's stirrups. And then, of course, I had to look around. And then I found a bridle on sale that was exactly Thor's size and the color I wanted. And I had to buy it. It was practically free.
Whenever she heard that before.
Yeah, Leah. It was. It was on sale and you didn't even mean to get it. It was free.
I wonder where she heard that before.
Casey said, this is so great. I bought my son's horse a new waterproof blanket, but it is way too big. So now I have to use it for my horse. His horse would be fine, baby. Your horse is the important one. Claire says, I decided to put both my horses in training, and now it's going to take so much longer to save up for my new saddle. Oh, God, this is so great. Kimberly, my, you're going to love this one, Glenn. My high school reunion was last night, and the last thing my husband said to me right before we went in was, remember, we have two children. Try not to talk only about your horse. We have kids too, damn it.
I wonder how she succeeded at that. My guess is she didn't. That's my guess.
I mean, and then the first thing is like, how's your horse? And like, whew, floodgates are open. Permission granted. Misty says, Chewy.com has only enough room to add 8 pets. And they don't have choices for donkeys, draft horses, appendix horses, or any crossbreeds.
Have you ever ordered from Chewy?
No.
I haven't either. And they have a humongous warehouse here in Ocala. It's huge.
I buy. They have chicken food and dog food and horse food and all that stuff.
They have everything, I think. I don't know. I've never shopped there.
I cannot imagine that shipping me 600 pounds of food is just easier or cheaper than me just going to pick it up.
I know. I agree. And Chewy, if you want to sponsor, we're available.
I'm going to look it up. See,
we'll start buying from you if you sponsor. Just saying.
I'm sure Chewy
cares.
is listening right now. Yes. I'm going to look him up here because I want to know if I don't have to go pick up V, that'd be great. Okay.
You know, email Jamie@horseradionetwork.com with all of your Chewy comments. They'll be coming in.
Yeah, seriously, let me know. Lila says, I could not wear my perfect fall carriage driving hat because it was too windy. Those girls do have fabulous hats.
They do, and they don't stay on in the wind either. So,
Andrea says, I was supposed to go trail riding today, but it started raining, and I had to ride in the indoor. It's a first world problem. Diane says, it was too hot to go riding, so I had to go clean my tack room. Can you come clean mine? Because it's a hot mess. Shannon says, I'm totally rocking bad helmet hair today. Oh, I just put on a ball cap for the rest of once you've committed to the hat on the head, you got to commit for the day.
You can't. You either that or you take a shower.
that or shower. It's one or the other. Who wants to do that in the middle of the day? You're just going to get dirty again. Lisa says, I found a new dressage saddle today, but it's too wide for my warm blood mare, but it fits my off the track thoroughbred, but he's only three and I don't have enough saddle racks.
I think that'll be solved soon.
Another Lisa, different Lisa says, I just had an amazing long weekend full of ponies and riding with friends, but now it's over and I have to go back to stupid work.
Don't we all?
This is like the best time for riding. It's like fall, the leaves are changing. It's like a little cool out. You potentially get bucked off, so be careful. But it's like the most beautiful time.
By the way, I'm keeping it up. And now, 5 times in 2 weeks driving the pony. She's proud of me.
And has anything happened?
No, it's been.
Do
perfect
you need a
angel.
New pony?
We took
I'm
him
tired
out.
Of this.
We took him. There's a rails to trails here. We are so fortunate to live in Ocala because there's 1,000 trails, and even the carriage fits on a lot of them. So they built this rails to trails to the Florida Greenway that they paved about 18 miles of it, and of course all the horse people were mad because they paved part of it. There's still 1,000 trails in the woods. It's perfect for me because the carriage I can go on the macadam part.
Could you stop having successful rides? I need there were you're bikes have going to by. Pony.
Have you ever seen those recumbent bikes?
Oh yeah, they're just silly.
Well, I thought there were 4 of them in a pack coming straight at us, and they look much different than the other bikes. And I thought, oh, this is going to be bad.
You're like, this is it.
This is where the pony goes south. And he looked at him and went, eh. That was it. Went on. There were endurance riders riding through the woods at a gallop and around and everywhere, and he was fine. Sorry, I don't have anything to report.
Need a new pony.
Yeah.
Jessica says, I can't keep my tack in my tack room because our freeloading barn cats won't do their job and handle the rats. I'm finding little mouse poops in my thing. I'm like, how did y'all? This barn has not been there that long. They just immediately know. They're like, it's a barn. Everybody, come on. Let's go. Let's
all right, we have time for one more, and then we have to get to our auditor.
Jackie, I am losing weight, which is like awesome. But all the weight is coming out of my hips and my upper body. So like my waistband is super loose, but below that is like still pretty normal. And I really want new breeches, but I'm like different sizes everywhere.
Oh, that is true for most riders. That is true.
That's so funny. Oh, poor Rebecca, to finish it out. She says that winter came early and now she has to actually like trailer to an indoor. Listen, I will come over there. There you go. Those are our sad first world problems that belong to our listeners. And I don't know how you guys get up every morning and like get out of bed because it's just so hard.
My bone connected to the shoulder bone connected to the leg bone, the leg bone connected to the foot
bone. The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected.
and depended upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
And I got some questions over the weekend about what is that first supplement that you give every horse? You talk about it, you give a certain supplement to every horse, and I've even got Kona on it, Biotic 8. And it just starts everything and regulates, and then you see what you got after that, because I think the Biotic 8, the prebiotic, probiotic, it's just really, really important to kind of get their gut right before you start anything. So Biotic 8, go ahead and get that. Now, we have a listener on the line, Chris Reykjavik, who, this is so exciting. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. Something happened over the weekend, and I wanted to personally congratulate you, and that is you got yourself a brand new shiny four-year-old OTTB.
I sure did. First horse ever. It's basically, you know, best day of my life. On Sunday.
Well, you've been riding a long time. Let's back up a little bit, because I do believe you recently moved to Lexington, Kentucky.
I did. I actually just moved to Kentucky in August. I started a new job with a company called Big Ass Fans, and actually want to get this little plug in as I can. Big Ass Fans just started a partnership with US Equestrian. So if you are a member of US Equestrian, you can get 10% off all of our products.
They are like a miracle.
Throw that little plug in there.
The Big Ass Fans are like a miracle. They go so slow and they pump out so much wind. It's incredible.
Yeah,
I never thought I would love fans this much, but they're pretty great.
Well, that's fantastic. So, why did you move to Lexington? What was it about Lexington, or was it just the job that brought you, or was it the horses?
I mean, it was a bit of a gift from God to have both of those things come up in the same place. I mean, where else would you want to live as a horse person other than Lexington, Kentucky?
Well, I would like to tell you that I lived there for 3-4 years, and you may rethink that in January, but right now you live there.
I'm originally from further north, so I've lived in upstate New York and grew up in New England. So
that's going to be better than that.
I'm in a tropical paradise. Yeah.
See, I came from Georgia to Kentucky, so I get it. Yeah, never mind. You're going to be fine. It'll be great.
Yeah.
So, Chris, tell us, you are an eventer by trade, correct? But you've never owned a horse?
Correct, yeah. So, legend has it, horse was my first word, I've ridden basically since I was very little. Had to take some time off due to some health reasons for a while, but, then got back into the sport, but just never was able to, have that extra money to be able to purchase. Luckily, things have started to come together and was able to finally sort of get to that, my own horse. And, I've only had, officially only had the horse for a day now, but I've had him been able to work with him for about, a little over a week. And I don't think I could have chosen a better first horse. He's just personality coming out the wazoo.
Well, tell us all about him. What's his name? Where is he from? What's his breeding? What does he do? Tell us everything. Gush over your horse. Go.
So he is a Kentucky bred. So he's, as Jamie had said, is off the track. He came off the track in April. He was very competitive on the track. He raced once and came in last place. but luckily, his owners were great, and they realized that this wasn't the sport for him, and they wanted to get him out into sort of a pleasure/sport horse career. And one of the really nice things I like about the contract that I bought him with, because I actually bought him from my trainer down here, is that the original breeders or the original owners have in the contract that I have to sort of be in contact with them. And then if he ever moves on from me, I have to make sure those people are in contact. Just shows you the breeder and trainers there were, you know, really interested in the horse for its entire career, not just the one race that he ran for them.
Can you share with us who the owners are? Because I would love to highlight them on Retired Racehorse Radio.
Yeah. So again, I don't know too much about them, but on the contract, they're called NES Co. and it's Lofenbach Stables. But you know, again, they're local to Kentucky, and you know, my trainer had got this horse in April. She's been working with him since then. And then, you know, I came around in August saying, hey, you know, do you have anything that I could ride around on? And, she helped me sort of in the search and eventually said, you know what? I think this horse whose name is, his jockey club name is Answer the Boss. Stable name for, or bar name for right now is Mikey, but I think that might be subject to change, because I'm not a huge fan of the people names for horses.
Oh, see, I totally heard his name is Answer the Boss. Please tell me his name is Tony. I mean, come on. Who's the boss?
No. So that's what I thought too. But it's Mikey as in Michael Scott.
That's
where
awesome.
Mikey came from.
Okay. Gotcha.
I mean, it's very nice, but I still think, you know, we might, with his change of career to change his juju from, you know, finishing ninth out of nine horses, we might do a little name change, but have plenty of time to think about that because unlike you, I'm not going to keep my horse 3 months after starting the partnership with him. So I have a bit of time before we need to think about registering him and changing.
Did
changing
you say unlike
for
me?
USEF purposes. Well, didn't you take are all of your horses about 3 months in? You're out competing cross country, taking them to the makeover 6 months after having them.
Oh gosh, Groot took a little
stuff.
Longer
I'll leave that
than
to the professionals.
Groot took a little longer than that. He was a challenge, but yes, I'm so excited to hear what you're going to name him. That's fantastic. And 4 years old, it's little gelding, and you're living the dream in Lexington, Kentucky, Chris. That is just so exciting. Are you? Can I ask a personal question?
Sure.
Are you
there was
single?
A big hesitation there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think it's a delay, Glenn.
He's listened to the show before.
Question that Jamie's going to ask.
Yeah. I think I do too. Yeah.
Are you single? Because I'm sure that one of our listeners would be interested in meeting a horse guy. You know, what's the story? What's your story?
You knew this was coming.
I am single, but I am also, you know, just entered into a committed relationship with a horse. So it's
going
to take me a little bit to...
Good answer.
Gotcha. Okay, well...
That only makes all the women want him more. So, I mean, I'm not sure that works.
Any interested listeners, his name is Chris, and he's committed right now, but he may have time for you in about 6 or 7 years. So keep that in
exactly.
mind. Oh, that's fantastic. Christy, living the dream in Lexington, Kentucky, got your first horse as an adult. Like, it's just awesome. I'm so excited for you. Please keep us posted. And if you do anything, we want to hear about it and we want to highlight it. So congratulations.
Of course. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris. Right. And congratulations.
Thanks.
Am I that predictable, Glenn?
Yes,
come
you
on.
Really are. To be honest.
Like really Chris are. Is really handsome and the horse is super handsome as well. So watch
you
out.
Know, Answer the Boss could be Bruce, too.
My gosh, there's so many great names. Like I was thinking Tony from Tony Maselli from Who's the Boss? You remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
Michael
yeah.
Scott. I would call the horse Michael Scott. I wouldn't call Mikey. It'd be Michael Scott. And yeah, you're right. Bruce. It's another
yeah.
one.
I mean, the boss, Bruce. There's so many things you
Glenn,
can do with that.
Yeah, because you're such a boss.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. I so act like a boss.
God,
but this is a lean, mean machine here, too, judging by the pictures I see. And we're going to post his pictures in our show notes, so you can check out his pictures there.
That's awesome.
You can see Answer the Boss in there, 4 years old. And it sounds like he's a really good guy, too. So good for him. I'm glad. You know, it's always good when your first horse works out.
No, I just love it. He's like, yeah, I am single, but I am in a committed. And I was about to be like, well, then you're not single. Oh, with a horse. I'm like, yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, he knew what was coming. That's why he hesitated so long. And yes, you are that predictable. Let's take a break for a song, and we're going to come back. Yesterday, I heard this thing on the radio, actually, asking what your first job was. And I thought, I wonder how many of our auditors' first job was horses and how many did other things and what unusual ones there were. And I found some unusual ones. I want to talk to you about that after, because I don't know that I would have done some of these. So we'll talk about that right after. I thought we haven't heard cowhand.com in a long time. So we're going to play that for you, and we'll be right back.
On to this brand new ranch. It was owned by a bunch of fancy pants, but they did have several high dollar trucks and trailers. Well, there was barns and pens. It was under construction, and I was informed by phone I'd receive my instruction in a video arriving in a padded mailer. It said, sort the cows in pen 11, then bring us a tag so we can scan them. And I didn't have a clue, but I took a sack full of them to headquarters. There was a lady at a computer typing in numbers, and the more she typed, the more I felt dumber, and she said, yep, 501's too old, gotta go back and sort her. I replied, I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed, scroll me back to where I'm from, cause I don't need no printout telling me that it's time to wean. Never seen a calf pulled by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, my security pass / photo ID opened the gate and picked out a horse for me, and you punch in a code and it start an automatic feeder. Of course, you still had to step over what them cows was downloading, and you did hair analysis with a digital modem, and put a cow up on the screen, it'd tell you which bull's gonna breed her. Well, then they give me this laptop from my saddlebags, and it got dusty out riding drag, and I knew the boss was gonna have my hide. Well, they said, just boot it up, open the windows, something about a mouse and a bunch of menus, so I hauled off and kicked it. I kept the windows closed because it was freezing outside. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed. Scroll me back to where I'm from, because I don't need no printout telling me which stall to clean. Never seen a horse shod by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, then they start talking downsizing and linking up. I told them I was heading for the tall and the uncut. They could stick that Pentium right in their AOL. There's faxing emails and hazing the web, and they even had a megabyte RAM. That sounds inbred. I reckon those people wouldn't know the difference between a hard drive and a paper trail. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. Don't need no information highway to get back to where I'm from. And I don't need no printout telling me which colt is green. Never seen a bronc broke by a machine. Besides, this little cell phone just don't fit good in my jeans. I ain't no cowhand.com. I ain't no http://, all one word, all little letters, www.cowhand.com. Yeah, that's what you get when you try to cross one of them computers with a cowboy.
A And that is DanRobertsCowhan.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Thank you so much for joining us. I got to tell you a little bit about Wintec saddles, because they are having their model clearance. It's on now with new models coming soon. Don't miss out on unbelievable deals across the Wintec range. Check your local Wintec dealer for prices and availability. The model clearance includes favorites such as the popular Wintec 500 All-Purpose, Wintec Pro Jump, Wintec Isabel, and Wintec Pro Endurance Plus, many, many more. Enjoy up to a huge 25% off the MSRP on selected current models. Wintec offers you unbeatable value for money and the perfect opportunity to purchase a lightweight, comfortable, and weatherproof saddle from America's favorite synthetic saddle brand. These easy care weatherproof saddles are perfect for riding during the winter, as they can withstand mud, rain, and snow. So prepare for winter riding now and save. This exciting offer is only valid while stocks last. So gallop into your nearest Wintec saddle retailer today. Conditions apply. Visit wintec-saddles.com to find your nearest retailer. And Glenn said there was a car commercial that was talking about MSRP, MSRP, MSRP. Do you know what MSRP means? Probably you do.
Manufacturers, retail sales price or something like that.
I did not know. I was like, I hear that all the time. I need to know what MSRP means. And it's manufacturer's suggested retail price.
Oh, there we go. Thank you.
I used to know that. That commercial. Yeah, you know what? You've forgotten all of your retail stuff. So.
I did, intentionally. God, packing boxes at 3 a.m. at Christmas time. It was such fun. So,
oh my God.
What was your first job in high school as a kid?
I mean, like a non
paying job.
So I was the weekend feeder at the local barn. Was probably my first. I don't even know if I got paid for that. I don't think I got paid.
Anyway. Nobody gets paid for that.
But when I was 16, I got, oh my God, my dream job. Okay. 16 years old. I got hired during the holiday season as a greeter at the Gap. And I was like the coolest girl in high school because I worked
there in your dirty
Gap.
Boots at the Gap greeting people.
You got 50% off. And the one point in my life where I cared what I wore was when I was 16 years old and a greeter at the Gap.
The Gap.
And it turns out retail is not really where I'm supposed to be, nor maybe just clothing.
Because you
retail,
actually have to be nice to the people that come in the store.
Welcome to the Gap. Everything in the back is on sale. All the stuff in the front is not on sale right now. And they did not appreciate my honesty when people would come in. And so I was not rehired after the holiday season. Was not.
It's funny. We had a lot of people in retail, obviously. I asked the auditors. I got almost 100 answers, and there were a lot of people in retail. I was a dishwasher, and I think that's the other job that 90% of the kids get, right, is working at a restaurant.
You got 100 answers. Why are we not doing this like Family Feud? 100 answers on the board!
Yeah, I know.
Retail!
Well, Chantel did say she worked in the sporting goods store, and it's so funny you said the Gap, the discount. Well, she said she worked in a sporting goods store as a cashier. The discount was phenomenal. I think that's why people work at tax shops, too. You don't get paid much, but the discount. You get the discount.
It makes you realize how much people mark crap up.
Jackie said Petco. I was wondering how many were at pet stores. Jennifer actually worked at PetSmart for a while when they had the horse part. In the PetSmart, she ran the horse part at the Lancaster PetSmart while they had it, and then they closed the horse part, and she left because she didn't want to sell fish food. Kyle, who's Wendy's Kyle, said, worked at a concession stand at Cinemark Theaters. That's the other place where you see nothing but teenagers working. Where I learned the magic of Windex's ability to easily clean up dried hot dog chili and nacho cheese.
Ugh, gross. My brother worked at a movie theater, like, his entire high school career. And it was great because we used to go, hey, can we get in the movie? Yeah, sure. Come on. So we get in all the movies for free. But what a terrible job. Like, you have no life. You clean up movie theater floors and work behind a counter, like giving out popcorn until like 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, on Saturdays and Fridays. Ugh.
Ashley said, I only picked out the ones I found interesting. I want to talk to you about. Ashley said, I worked at Curves as a fitness motivator. Okay, now that would piss me off. A 16-year-old girl is working there trying to motivate me, who's 40. and she's like looks perfect because she has never gained an ounce in her life. Would that be motivating
to
you?
Girl. Yeah. Let's go. Oh, I'm telling you, I do this kickboxing class and we do like a lot of ab work at the end. And there's this girl who, and it's a woman's kickboxing class. It's all women. And there's this, like, we all lay down on the floor and there's like the person in charge, the like kickboxing instructor, her name is Casey. And this girl's like, how do I make this exercise a little harder? Because I'm just not really feeling it. I want to make it like a little harder. And Casey looks at her and goes, get older. That's what makes it harder. Thank you.
I like that answer.
Just be older. Because I was like, I would roll over and I'll punch you in your face, 22-year-old, probably your name is Kimberly, and she's 20. And
either
like,
that or
like ab work and after an hour-long workout. It's like so easy, okay?
Sally said, I worked at a grill making hamburgers and shakes. I know a lot of people did, but this is funny. The first shake I made blasted all over the place. I'd never used one of those wand whipping milkshake things before.
You're lucky you didn't lose a finger.
You can just picture it. Michaela said, I worked at a Girl Scout camp teaching riding lessons in the summer. It sucked.
Tell us how you really feel.
You're either cut out to work at a camp or you're not. I was not. Scary. What kind of job do you think Scary had as his first job?
He murdered people.
Did we ever ask him how he got the name Scary?
I don't know.
One of our auditors for new listeners. He's been around forever, and he's very active in the auditor room. He grew up in a concrete family and was working in grade school for the concrete business.
See, he hid bodies. That's what he did.
Don't call Scary out on the air. If he does kill people, we don't want him mad at us. No, we're just kidding, Scary. Kara said, I worked at an ice cream shop. Most fun job I've ever had. Do you think you could eat ice cream after scooping ice cream 8 hours a day for years?
I know people that have worked in ice cream places, and who said that ice cream shop? Because I want to know how much weight you gained working
Kara
there.
Kara said that.
Kara, yeah. How much? Be honest.
And their wrists are really strong, though. You get really strong wrists doing that. Now, Lorene, everybody knows Lorene because she submits really bad ads on Friday. She said, at 13, I was a waitress at a catering hall to earn money so I could lease my first horse, a mare named Princess.
Princess, of course.
Underage there, 13, working at a catering hall. Just saying. And this was, don't know what this one is. Mary said, I was a groom. By the way, there were tons of people working in barns and all of that. I skipped all of those because I expected a lot of people working in barns as their first jobs. But Mary said, I was a groom for an Arabian horse farm, and I cut mats for a watercolor artist. Oh, the mats are what they paint on, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a job, cutting mats. That watercolor artist must have been fast. I mean, cut a lot of mats.
I mean, you could just go to Michael's and like,
buy them already shaped. Linda said,
Hobby Lobby.
This is a job I could not do. I would not have the patience for this. I would have shot myself. Linda said, page in a library all day long, just putting books away. Almost best job ever. That would be the Dewey Decimal System. That would be torture. I could never
Who
find
did that. That was a best.
Linda
said it was
said
the
that.
Best job.
Best job. Almost best job ever. There were a couple people that worked in libraries putting books away and loved it. I could not have done that for 10 minutes.
That's because all you would have heard is this. Shh. 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 I have to ask you to leave.
Could you ever find a book using that system that they had? The little cards in the drawer.
I'll tell you how I would find a book if I was actually in
librarian.
The library. I would go up to the library and be like, hey, I need this book for school.
That never made sense.
Come
to
with me.
I haven't been in a library in 20 years. I don't even know what they look like anymore. Do they
have
books anymore?
I've taken Lucas a ton. He loves the library.
Do they still have books or is it all computers?
They still have books. Oh, it's amazing. Wow. And computers.
TJ said, oh my God, worst waitress ever at a drive-in restaurant.
Like a Sonic.
You can
like,
picture
I'm coming.
Dumping the whole tray in the window.
Damn roller skates on. I can't get to your car.
Two more. Nikki said, then we'll go to our next guest. Nikki said, beach tagger in Ocean City at 15. What's a beach tagger?
What does that mean?
I don't know. Nikki, tell us what a beach tagger is. We're curious. But she got to work on the beach at age 15. That's not too shabby. And then Kelly said, this has to be the most awful job for anybody, and anybody's ever done it. You need to come on the air and tell us about this, because I want to know what you found. Kelly said, a hotel maid at one of those park outside the room motels.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine they see? I would have to wear a bodysuit, like a complete, you know how they wear the rubber gloves? I need a rubber bodysuit. I couldn't do it.
Oh, dude. That's brutal.
Can you imagine the things they see? Now, I worked at the front desk at a motel once, and night shift, and that wasn't much fun, but I could not have cleaned
the rooms. I have stayed at some pretty shady hotels, and one of the hotels we stayed at, we didn't stay there. We ended up, we got in and like pulled down the bed, and the sheets were bloody. And I was like, oh my God, I'm leaving right now. That was terrible.
We stayed at a hotel, I'm not saying where, Jimmy and I, we each had separate rooms at this hotel on one of our trips in Fair in Florida, and both of us, she called me on the phone and said, did you pull your sheets back in your bed yet? And I had not, and she said, do it. And I pulled my sheets back, and there were these long hairs all over the sheets, and she had the same long hairs. It must have been the person cleaning the beds had long hair, I don't know, but... Anyway, yeah.
I'm just going to put some of this in here to make it really fun tonight.
To freak everybody out. I think I slept on top in my clothes that night.
Never sleep on top of the sheets.
Oh, that's true. The blankets never get washed.
No, they never get washed. Okay, here's the deal. If you go into a motel or a hotel for this matter, don't sleep on the top sheet. They never wash those. I mean, these are like confirmed things. Never... sanitize. They never clean the remotes. Don't pick up the phone. They don't disinfect the phone, and never, ever make coffee in the coffee maker in your room.
Cause you don't know the last time that was ever cleaned.
No. My friend Donna is a flight attendant, and she said that there's a certain type. The water is the hottest water you can get in there. And there's a certain culture of people that wash their underwear in the coffee thing. And I was like, okay, what? I'm done. Don't need to know anymore. She's a flight attendant. She goes all over the place. She's like, yep. They wash their underwear in the coffee pot because it pours the hottest boiling water down on the underwear. Oh
my God, I'm going to throw up.
And this is an educational show today, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my God.
Please. I'm sorry. I brought this whole thing up now.
I know you are too. I know too much.
And Deanne just joined us to hear that. Hi, Deanne from Horse Nation. How are
you? You're welcome, Deanne.
I'm doing well. That was quite the entrance.
You're never going to drink coffee out of one of those pots again, are you? Never, ever
I
again.
I absolutely am not.
No, I don't think so. Wow. All right.
I'm saving lives here, Glenn. I'm saving lives. Yeah.
Deanne is here, of course, from Horse Nation every Monday at 11 o'clock and talking about some of the stories that were on Horse Nation the week before. What are we starting with? Oh, first of all, do we have enough entries into the Halloween writing contest to do a show on a special holiday episode of Horses in the Morning?
We do. How many do we want to read on Horses in the Morning on Thursday?
Good. So you need to get them over to me because Jamie needs to read one again this year. She did such a good job last year. So definitely get them over to me, and we'll have a couple of them recorded ahead of time, and then you and I will read a couple. And we're also playing a trivia game, Halloween trivia, Horse Nation fan against Horses in the Morning fan. Right?
Absolutely.
So you have to recruit a fan before Thursday.
We've got a fan.
I don't have a fan yet. Auditors, I need a fan. I need somebody who knows something about Halloween, not me, because I'm terrible at Halloween. So we need somebody that knows something, and then Jennifer will put questions together for us. All right, that's on Thursday, special episode of Horses in the Morning. But now we're talking about what? Pick a story.
Take a pick from your articles. Let's see. We have the Red Mare versus the Horsefly.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So this was submitted by one of our readers, and it just hit home for me as, first of all, the owner of a red mare, and also someone who occasionally likes to get into arguments with her horse that, you know, I generally don't win. So the reader was talking about, you know, her lovely mare that she takes out on rides, on solo rides on a regular basis. It's her best trained horse. She can count on her to load on the trailer, unload, get back on after a trail ride, no issues. Until one day, of course, we've all been there when the horse decided not to. But on this particular trail ride, horse flies had been bombing the horse the entire ride. The horse was irritable. It had just made for a less than pleasant ride. So she goes to load the horse and the horse will not load, right? Like, so she's begging, she's crying, she's trying all the tricks, gets the nose chain, gets the whip, the whole deal, you know, does all the groundwork, horse still won't load, until a horse fly lands on the horse's rump, bites it, and the horse loads right on.
Just carry some horse flies around with you next time.
Exactly. Exactly.
We were out in this trail ride yesterday and we went into the woods here in Florida and it was fine. When we were on the path, it was fine. And then there was this more rugged path into the woods and I thought my carriage will fit up there. We go up there and we were inundated with mosquitoes. Jennifer looked at Scooter and said, he's covered in mosquitoes. And I said, let's get out of here. It's amazing how 10 feet can make a difference when it comes to bugs.
Oh, absolutely. And if you have a horse that's particularly sensitive to them, it makes a big difference for the enjoyment of your ride as well.
Yes. And when you're in a cart, and well, when you're riding too, but when you're in a cart and they go to rub and they go to turn around to rub, it's not comfortable. I mean, it's just not fun in the cart. how about the obligation of a horse seller? This sounds like really bad ads to me, an editorial.
It's a combination of bad ads and dishonest ads. And this was my own editorial, and it just hits close to home because we have I would like to think a higher than average amount of dishonest horse sellers near me. And that's not at all to
where
take
away.
Where do you live? I live in outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
But I, you know, I feel like in the horse world,
no, they're everywhere.
It's happening here, it's everywhere. Yeah, and that's everywhere. Not to like take away the buyer's responsibility, right? Like, we need to vet the horses. We need to do our due diligence. Like, we need to properly represent ourselves as riders, like the whole thing. But I saw somebody recently advertise a horse that I know is a flipper, that I know bucks, rears, throws people off, has landed the rider in the hospital, you know, like hard no-go for me. Listing it as no buck, no rear, no vices. And it just, God, it burns me because you're going to get a beginning rider out there who's going to get hurt.
Every time.
Every time. And so I kind of felt myself getting angry and I went, you know what? I need to channel this anger. I need to write an editorial about it. Because as horse sellers, we do have an obligation, right? Like, we have an obligation to the horses. We have an obligation to the riders. We have an obligation to ourselves, like not to totally ruin our reputations.
Do you know what happens to me? I sell a horse maybe once a year, and usually it's a horse that this person is very familiar with, that's a student buying it or something like that. And when, you know, I'm like, here, don't use my vet. You find a vet, call the vet, have them come out. And it is amazing how, as a horse seller, a veterinarian, and I'm not saying all of them, but they treat you like a criminal. Like, you're trying to pull something over on somebody by selling this horse. And that's the problem is, I am very upfront about everything. I want the horse to have a great home. I'm like that perfect horse seller because I want it to be the most perfect match because I want the horse to stay with you forever because it's so amazing. Yet a veterinarian will come up and be like, so why are you selling it? Well, because that's what I do. Oh, so you sell horses. I'm like, well, like maybe one a year, you know, I don't know. It just, as a horse seller, you always feel like you're on guard because there's so many bad people out there.
And the veterinarian's just jaded because he has to deal with all those people.
I get it. I get it. And I've been a vet tech and we've gone on those calls where the people are like, yeah, the horse is like currently lame, you know, I didn't know that. Really? You didn't know. Come on, you know, but then, it is a very frustrating situation for buyers and for sellers to kind of know who. So if you're going to buy a horse, you guys do your due diligence and ask questions, ask around, who is this person? What do they do? I remember I drove to Northern California to go see a horse for somebody and she was with me and we get there and there's like a dead horse in the field. You're like, what, but yeah, that they had shot and like left there. I mean, and looking back, I wish I would have done a lot of more research on this person before I made the 2-day drive to get up there to go look at this horse, you know. So there's
You guys remember, you might not be old enough to remember, but there was a time when a couple of professional riders tried to start horse stores where they would get horses in from other professionals. They'd have them all in one location. You'd go look at 10. They do this in Europe. But you'd go look at 10, 20 horses because they were all pretty good horses, and they were all, you know, coming from reputable people, and they were all in one location. It was a horse store. But it just never worked. I don't know why. It never worked. It was never profitable, and they stopped doing it. But wouldn't it be nice if you had a place where you could go that you knew there were 30, 40 horses, and they were all from reputable people, and you just ride whatever all day long and pick your one?
I want to go to there right now.
I know. There's a business plan. Dan, get
Absolutely.
On it.
Absolutely. I'm on it. And you've got it tiered, right? So here's for your like casual weekend rider, and you're only in like, you know, the mid
This row of the barn. Yeah, this row of the barn is 0 to 5,000. This row of the barn is for beginners. This row, you divide them up.
I see a lot of problems with that. I see a lot of problems, but I think it sounds great, but no, that would never work.
It would be so nice, though. It really would. And this is your driving horses over here, you know? I guess they do have that. It's called auctions, but you don't know you're getting them from a reputable person. So,
well, if you're buying a horse at an auction, unless it's Keeneland, you're probably not getting it from a reputable seller or buyer.
I know. We got some good ones at auctions over the years, but they weren't the auctions that you're thinking about. They were more private auctions.
Right. Well, and you also, if you're going to an auction, you also kind of know that you may not 100% know what you're going to get.
Right.
You're
getting what you get.
Yeah. Theoretically, you go in with your eyes open.
The best, I really need to buy a horse.
You guys are going to hate this. The best run auction we ever went to for horses was an Amish auction. And it was all Amish selling to each other and stuff. But you came in the night before, you could take out and drive the horses yourself. You got to spend time. You could spend 2 hours with the horse the day before if you wanted to. So they really did. I mean, it was actually ironic that that ended up being where we got a couple of horses that turned out to be great. So it's like, it depends.
I don't know why we would hate that, but that, yeah.
They just have a bad reputation, but you know,
really?
Yeah. All right. Well, we're never going to solve that problem, and we hope we don't, because then we won't have really bad ads on Friday and we'll be out of business.
Dang right. Let's keep it a train wreck.
Yeah.
Let's
keep doing your bad selling. There was another article that was interesting. Did you write this one in defense of imperfect horses?
No, it was actually one of our freelancers, Ashley Francesi, and she loves to take in imperfect horses and turn them into something. What inspired this article was actually really sad. She recently just lost one of her standard breeds, Maddie, to like a freak accident where he got a fracture, but it had enough other health issues that he wasn't a candidate for surgery. But before that happened, he was one of her best lesson horses. He was the one that she could throw her friends on who had never been on a horse, throw absolute beginner riders on for their first rides. He was one of those horses that she took a chance on. And so she wrote that going, you know, like these imperfect horses really make the best, sometimes the best lesson horses, the best packers. We don't all need horses with absolutely perfect conformation or no crunchy joints for the way that most of us ride or the way that most of us use some of the horses that we get. And I thought it was just a really like well-written, really thoughtful article because I think it's important for riders to say like, what am I using this horse for? So what does it need? What do I need out of it?
Yeah, Jamie, it reminds me of this one.
Oh, bless his heart. Yeah, Chili was one of those. He was kind of broken everywhere, but just a heart of gold and one of those.
A lot of kids learned on Chili. I mean,
oh my gosh, hundreds. Yeah.
I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. And we've all owned that not perfect horse that was the perfect horse, right? I mean, turned out for us, it was the perfect horse forever we were doing with it. My first driving pony had a little bit of problem with the back leg. We put the bandage on. That pony was fine. And that pony took me around till literally 35, 36 years old, died at 45.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, and it was not the perfect pony. But
well, yet. this horse I just bought for a client that's now boarded here. Her name is Aluna, and we did this horse. Oh my gosh, she is so fantastic. She just, you can go and jump on her, and the kids are riding around, and she kind of like, the little girl was like, "I'm gonna ride her up to the jump," and like trots up to the jump, and Luna stops, steps over it, and walk, like trots on. Like, you're not allowed to do that, child. Like, it was just like one of those mares. But she did not maybe have the most perfect vet check, you know. And I just thought, you got to overlook some stuff to find that heart, you know, that they have. And so, yeah, she's got some navicular changes. We'll just manage it as best as we can. But let your daughter learn on a horse that's not going to scare her or hurt her. And it's going to take care of her like a chili. It's like a female chili.
Yep. And we've all had those. Hey, before you go, I have to talk to you both about this story, and you might have seen it this morning. Nancy Welke of Merle, Michigan, was in the barn getting ready to put her horses out when all of a sudden this large thing comes flying out of the sky and crash lands beside the barn.
What?
It was a satellite.
I did not see this.
My God.
Apparently... This is just the most bizarre story. Apparently, this satellite was called a space selfie, and it was launched by Samsung. So Samsung thought it would be a good idea and really clever in the days of selfies to launch a satellite. This is what they did. They took a Galaxy S10 phone, and they attached it to the satellite. And they set it up so that people, ordinary people like you and I, could send it selfies, could send pictures to it. There was another phone attached to it that would take a picture of your picture on the phone with the Earth in the background. You follow that?
Okay.
So
you get a selfie of yourself with the Earth in the background.
You get a selfie of your selfie with the Earth in the background. Correct. So they set this up, and they launched it with one of those really, really big high balloons that goes up, that took this satellite, which was about 4 feet square, up about 65,000 feet. And apparently it worked great, but they forgot it was going to come down someplace. And it crash landed in this woman's horse field. And she's
so was
like,
the satellite texting while driving?
Apparently. Yes,
it
was.
What this makes me think? Okay, so hey, Samsung people, let's send a selfie to our satellite that we have orbiting the Earth that is going to take a picture of you with the Earth in the background, like a super selfie. Fantastic. Y'all got too much damn money. I mean, you know what? Let's spend an extra, I don't know, $4 billion and send up a satellite or that's a billion.
And how did they get that by the legal department when they knew it was going to come down somewhere?
She
said it's lucky it didn't hit one of her horses in the field. Yeah, it's really lucky. I mean, it was 4 foot by 4 foot, this steel thing.
And just know if you have a Samsung, you paid too much damn money for it because they are rolling in it.
Well, there's more to this story because apparently when it crash landed, it was still going and flashing and doing all of its things. It was still running. But the balloon landed on power lines. And the power company and the police and the fire department were called, and they had to remove the deflated balloon off power lines after cutting power to the whole area. So how much do you think Samsung's going to pay for that one now? What an idiot.
The idea was to promote the new model of the Samsung Galaxy S10 5G as a capable device of functioning while withstanding the rigors of atmospheric travel. Because that's what we all need to test out.
We all
will
fly
it
60.
Withstand the rigors of atmospheric travel? I'm not buying it unless it is. It says
look
with
at
over
all
two
the free press they just got.
Yeah, all of it making fun of it. With over 200 hours and 65,000 feet above the Earth, the S10 5G will showcase the strength of Samsung's innovations and how it continues. Continues to design products that make what was previously impossible possible, and it's going to crash land on your house.
There's some lawsuits there. The next one, I got one more story for both of you. Did you guys see the new Tesla pickup truck?
I've heard about it.
Did you see the pictures yet? If you can, Google it right now. Google it right now. I want to see what your reaction is, Jamie. This is the coolest damn looking truck. It's like something out of Mad Max. But apparently Tesla's supposed to come out with this truck in 2020. They're saying it's going to be under $50,000, which puts it in the price range of other trucks, right? They're also saying that it's really going to be meant to tow, that you'd be able to tow. And because it's electric, the torque on electric cars is incredible. So they said towing, you won't even know the trailer's back there. While we can't say how much exactly, we can point out that Musk once tweeted it could tow 300,000 pounds. Now, I doubt that.
Well, but the torque's unlimited, right?
Yeah.
It could tow it. It's just a matter of how much friction it can put on the ground to stop it.
Right, exactly. And what the suspension, he's claiming the suspension will automatically adjust to its load. Of course, you know, it's Tesla, so they're going to put all kinds of fancy stuff in it that will probably break. But now the mileage, he's claiming 400 to 500 miles, but I wonder if that's, you know, not hauling a horse trailer weighing 10,000 pounds. But still, 400 to 500 miles doesn't seem too bad, but it's the coolest looking truck. It's really cool looking.
I just Googled it. I don't know if they've totally released the specs, though. I feel like these are mock-ups still.
Well, they were mock-ups, but apparently it's supposed to be pretty close. He did an interview, get this, he did an interview on a podcast last week, and that's where all this came out. He was on a podcast called The Lightning Podcast. And he did. How do you get Elon Musk to come on your show, by the way. I don't know how you do that. But anyway, yeah, so
we're still open for sponsorship.
I know. We'll test it out. We'll
get Elon Musk to come on and talk about it to the horse community for towing capacity for horses.
Right after we get to test it for a year. I think that's going to be...
I volunteer.
It is really cool looking. It doesn't seem super practical. It seems like it's very low and the tires are... not a whole lot of...
It's cool looking, though, isn't it? It's really cool looking. It's like space age cool looking. The other problem you're going to have is they take a special plug to plug those electric cars in, and I don't know many horse show grounds that are going to have that plug, so when you get there, you're not getting home.
So, whatever. Details.
Details.
Right? Details.
Yeah, who wants to go home anyway? It is a cool looking truck, though. All right. Well, thank you, Dan. We appreciate it. We'll see you on Thursday for the special Halloween episode.
Sounds good.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
So as soon as I get those stories, I'm going to be sending one over for you to read this year.
Hey, sounds all good. Right, by the way, just so you know, be very well behaved. My husband is listening. He messaged me.
He wants a Tesla truck. Does he want a Tesla electric truck?
I don't know. He hasn't messaged me about that yet, but I'm sure he would love to have one.
You know, the one thing I've never found anywhere, and if somebody can tell me, I want to know, you know, how much does it cost to charge that puppy every night for a month? You know,
I mean, when you plug in a truck like that, I would imagine that the power in your home dims.
I know. That's what
you know,
I'm
like
saying.
The lights dim.
You know, is it increasing? Yeah, you're not using gas, but does my electric bill go from $200 a month to $700? I don't know. That's I need to know. How much does it cost to do that? I really want to know.
Well, maybe Elon Musk will come on our show and talk about
Apparently
it.
Apparently, he does podcasts.
Yeah, well, radiothon, hello.
Yes, get radiothon. Speaking of which, if any of you know any celebrities that also have horses, let us know. We'd love to get them on radiothon. So let us know if you can help us
out
with that.
I don't know anymore.
We're working on a couple right now, but if any of you know anybody, let me know and we'll try and get them on. I would love to get The Rock on. He has horses. It'd be fun to get The Rock on.
Oh, well, give me the green light to cyberstalk that dude. All right.
Go ahead. He has horses. He has a farm. He has riders. One of the inventors rides his horses. We should be able to get through to him somehow. I'd probably do that through the eventing hosts.
Would it be weird if I just like showed up at his house? Like, hey.
Hey, I'll do an in-person interview. We'll save you from calling in. All right. Thanks, everybody. No show tomorrow. It is a dark day, but we'll be back on Wednesday live here. And then Thursday is Halloween. And then Friday's more really bad ads. So,
yeah. And we have a pretty awesome Halloween costume set up for the Jennings family. So you just.
We'll have to talk about that on Wednesday. When is your trick or treat night?
Isn't it the Halloween night? 31st?
31st. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a Thursday this year, so I guess most people are
I'm a traditionalist, Glenn. I will only...
Now, do you have to drive to town to actually find houses?
Yes.
Yeah, I
figured. Yes, we do. But that is nothing new. I'm used to it, so it's all good.
All right, everybody. We'll see you on Wednesday morning.
Bay Neuter Geld. Bye!